Dead Wrong Podcast. I am Lucas, with, of course, Miss Chanel.
Hello.
Hello. So it's another week. Thank you all for listening to the past shows as we rev up and get more and more into this bad boy of a show. With that coming new segment ideas and content, hopefully we'll be bringing to the show more often. Now, I proposed one to you this past weekend, which I think should turn out to be actually pretty good. Or basically, I will be suggesting a movie to Chanel, yep. And she will be suggesting a movie to me to be for each of us to watch that we had not watched and to review on the following show. My suggestion for Chanel to review for episode 4, Pulp Fiction.
And mine for you to watch is The Year of the Dog.
That's right.
Right. Very good movie.
As you could tell, these are whether you've seen both or neither, they're both totally on the opposite ends of the spectrum as far as genre and I don't know. It's definitely going to be interesting, to say the least. And I was surprised as hell and kind of glad came up with this concept to actually get you to watch Pulp Fiction. Because I was surprised that you had never seen that.
That was your goal, I think, the whole time was, man, how can I make her watch Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Although when I told people at work about this, a lot of them were very stunned that I hadn't seen Pulp Fiction as well. So, apparently, this is, a movie a lot of people think I should watch.
This is a movie you need in your life.
Apparently. So, I'll be the judge of that, though.
Yes.
I will be the judge of that.
And as far as The Year of the Dog, I know it has Molly Shannon and a dog, so the cover of the DVD tells me.
Yes, it has Molly Shannon in it, and I think it will surprise people because she's not funny in this role at all.
Oh.
It's a dramatic role for Molly Shannon. I think she does it quite well, but we'll have to see what you think about that.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to be kind of odd seeing her in a dramatic role.
I think she's comfortable in it, so it doesn't seem out of place. Yeah.
And also, I'd like to let everybody out there, please, go ahead, if you want, watch these movies before, let's see, what's the day? It's the 30th, so what would it be, the 5th? Watch it before February 5th. Email us, tell us your thoughts on either one of these movies. If you have seen it, that's fine, and tell us anyway, and we'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can email us at naturallydeadwrongpodcast@yahoo.com. You're welcome. Or you can find us on Facebook also. I think you should be able to search naturally/deadwrong. I think, is that it? Yeah, just naturally/deadwrong. Hopefully should be able to find us. If not, just email us and tell us where to find you, and we'll be more than happy to add you.
Absolutely.
But that is that. And for future episodes. But now, it's time for some news. Yep, that's right. Still silent.
I was going to say, still no sound effect. I was holding my breath. I was actually on the edge of my seat hoping.
I'm telling you, I bet you everybody else.
You were going to press a button and blow us away.
Hey.
But yet.
Gotta leave you wanting more.
or wildly disappointed.
I'm sorry. Hopefully by episode 5, perhaps. We shall see.
Not episode 4?
Possibly. I want to catch you off guard. See? Now everybody's going to be expecting it for 4, when it probably will come at 4.
I expect it for 4.
Probably.
I want everybody to have the same expectations as myself. You know?
Yeah, I understand.
I think, you know, they don't understand that we've got to, you know, keep you goal-oriented.
This is true. And that's tough to do altogether.
I know. I date you.
So, yes, this is very true. So first off, we'll go with the Arizona inmate that was arrested for refusing to leave lockup. Thanks to the AP, most people can't wait to leave jail, but one Northern Arizona inmate has been charged with trespassing after refusing to leave the Coconino County lockup. Coconino County Sheriff's Office spokesman Gary Blair says 44-year-old Martin Bettini Combate was arrested in Flagstaff last week for trespassing and was scheduled for release Monday on his own recognizance on the charge. But when the detention officers from the sheriff's office showed up to escort him out, he allegedly said he wasn't leaving and he was staying because he couldn't find his wallet. Blair tells the Associated Press that he was disorderly in the jail cell, would not leave, so the police were called and he was arrested once again for trespassing. He remains in jail.
Didn't they realize that at the time that was probably his point was to be able to stay there?
It's what it seems like to me. So they're really just doing him a favor. However, I just find it odd that anybody would want to just stay.
Or the fact that they had to call the police.
Yeah.
When they should have already been there?
You would think. That would, you know, make sense.
Mm.
But I guess the one thing that kind of strikes me as information I wish was in the story was how long he had stayed in jail. You know, before he was able to leave.
Oh, yeah.
I would assume it's like a weekend or something. It was just trespassing, but I don't know. It's very interesting. However, that does go back to my whole thing, my idea of, heaven forbid, and I hope it never came to this, but if I was ever homeless for an extended period of time, I'm sure I would do something to get tossed in jail. Get a free bed. Get free food.
Yeah,
makes perfect sense.
Just couldn't go to, like, a church shelter.
Well, there's always that. That never really, I don't know, popped up in my head as an option.
No, because clearly you instantly were like, man, what can I do to get put in jail?
Yeah, and then, what can I do that could put me in jail, but wouldn't be, I don't know, odd enough to where I'd get picked on in jail?
So you couldn't do something completely sissy, but you couldn't go over the top and be like a murderer.
Oh, no, no, no. I wouldn't want any chance of, you know, death row or, you know, the electric chair.
And you couldn't kill anybody anyway. You'd start laughing halfway through.
This is true.
You'd be like, man, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I just want to, you know, go and I just need 3 square meals a day and a bed. I just need to dry off and gain a little weight again.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess if I was willing to murder someone to get in to jail, I'd be better off just squatting at someone's house after they left for work.
This is true.
But that's just me. On to other news. Also from the AP, researchers found cancer in an Egyptian mummy. A professor at the American University in Cairo says discovery of prostate cancer in a 2,200-year-old mummy indicates the disease was caused by genetics, not environment. And they were actually spending over 2 years in Portugal studying this mummy to figure out how this man died. Though they did find he died in his 40s, and it was from prostate cancer, this is only the second oldest cancer that they've found, the oldest being a 2,700-year-old skeleton from a king in Russia. And that just brings me back to the question of, why are we spending so much time researching things that have been dead for well over 2,200 years?
So that we would know that cancer is considered, some cancers are considered genetic and not environmental.
You couldn't find that on anything that, I don't know, still living?
Well, no, because then people could claim that it was their environment. Because they're still living. You could look at their environment. And if it's a high number of creatures or people in that environment that have cancer, you could blame it on the environment.
Well, I guess that's true.
Because we gotta have somebody doing something all the time. Why do you get all technical? I don't know why we look at these dead things.
Well, for me, it goes back to this whole thing of, why do we spend so much money in other countries when we should be spending it here, kind of a thing.
Well, no, I agree.
Why spend so much money researching things that happened thousands of years ago when we could spend it on things that happened 2 years ago?
Or why don't we spend it on things that might happen 2 years from now?
That is very true.
I mean, but at the same time, I think that, you know, we need to know where we came from to know where we're going. In all aspects.
That whole, if you don't know history, you are doomed to repeat it kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I see. And as a follow-up from last week, finally, I follow up on something.
Yeah,
it may be fair on the show, but occasionally it will happen. Michael J. Clare, as some of you who listened last week, remember, was the dentist who used paper clips in root canal work instead of the steel post, was sentenced today to 2.5 years in the Bristol County House of Corrections. However, he will only serve 1 year and be put on probation for 5 years following his release. The balance of his prison sentence has been suspended.
That's all.
You and me both. I'm telling you. That, it doesn't make any sense. With the amount of damage that could be done to people for doing that, he only gets a year in jail.
He's clearly probably going to be bankrupt, though, because I'm sure all of his patients, especially those who got root canals and all of that, are going to sue the bejesus out of him.
That's true.
So, I mean, but still, I mean, it just doesn't seem like it does it justice or send a message to any other dentist using office supplies out there for their dental work.
Yeah. That's all the news I have. How about you, Miss Chanel?
Oh, this comes from ESPN 97.5 in Houston. They reported a story about bitchiness and greed. I know nothing of the sort of either.
Never.
Never. I'm probably going to slaughter this poor guy's name. Jason, I got that part. Alaya? I don't know. A television writer living in Nashville went to the trouble of getting Super Bowl tickets for himself and his girlfriend and was even going to propose to her on Christmas, but life got in the way. He was diagnosed with bladder cancer, and upon hearing the news, his girlfriend apparently dumped him on the spot. Now she still wants the tickets because she claims they were purchased with her in mind. Isn't that crazy?
That is bullshit.
But Jason is going to auction the tickets off on Twitter to whoever can get him the most Twitter followers by the end of the
program. As well he should.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's just amazing that the audacity that people have.
Yeah.
That they feel as though they're still entitled to something, especially when somebody's going through something. I mean, when you hear cancer, a lot of people, it's life or death, and here he is, and you think you're in love, and it's going to be beautiful, and this happens, and she's like, and I'm done. Thank you.
Right. Well, I can understand some things where you give a gift, even if it's a really, really expensive gift, and all of a sudden you break up with that person, or whatever. You receive a gift, and then you break up with that person. Technically, as I am Mr. Technical, by the letter of the law, you can still have that gift.
Yes.
Because it was given to you.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem like he ever gave her a ticket.
No, well, and like, and her claim is that, you know, they, that he purchased them with her in mind. But actually, they were never gifted. He still had the tickets. He probably just got the tickets, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Super Bowl is not that far away now, but I highly doubt that they sent them early.
No. That's just bullshit.
Yes, I agree. But that was that story. The second story I got from TMZ, because I love those people, that Fear Factor had an episode that on last week's episode, they did their promo for this week's episode, but this week's episode was all of a sudden pulled and was, you know, going to repeat this week because they have an episode where the contestants have to, they have to consume donkey semen.
Oh, Jesus.
And, that's disgusting.
That is, I mean, I'd be, if I were the contestant, I don't care if I was the winner and won a bunch of money, I'd still sue them.
Well.
You make me go through that shit and not show it?
Well, I don't know, though, because you would win it. You'd win all the money or whatever the prizes were. And then you would never have to admit you drank donkey semen by them not airing it.
But it's not about admitting you drank it. It's about the fact that you had to drink it.
But would you want everyone who watches Fear Factor? I mean, I don't. So, I mean, I wouldn't know. But everybody who does watch Fear Factor to know that you drank that? Really?
Would I want them to know I ate, like, horse penis? Or some of the other terrible things they have on that show? No.
Well, I don't know the people who would actually do, you know, go on this show or be involved in this show. But I think, you know, just these pictures that they have on TMZ are pretty gross if people want to go check that out. Because they just have, like, a big cup of it.
Oh, God.
It's pretty nasty.
I'm good. I don't need to see.
Well, and they entitled that episode Hee Haw, Hee Haw.
Oh, God.
So, well, yeah, and the tease from, you know, last week's episode was saying that the contestants will eat the unimaginable.
Well, then,
I don't really know. Okay.
Yeah.
So stick with me here, because I know that this is probably a little far-fetched, and maybe our audience, some of them might be too wholesome for this, so they can just, you know, plug their ears and count
this. They can fast forward, or they can just turn it off.
Yeah. is the fact that, you know, it's really not entirely unimaginable. What makes it unimaginable is the fact that it's donkey semen.
Yeah.
And so, like, I hate the fact that they, you know, are going all the way there, but it's semen itself is not that far-fetched for some people out there.
Right.
Depends on who the person is and what the circumstances are.
This is true.
But I just think that putting it on, you know, NBC on this.
Well, that's the thing, the fact that NBC approved it to begin with.
Yeah. Well, isn't Joe Rogan the host?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not that far-fetched for probably Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's beside the point.
It is.
You still got those stiff execs. Well, pardon the pun. Those stiff studio execs and, you know, they've got to worry about all of their sponsorships and all of that.
I just wonder how much that they'd really thought about it at first, and then
right.
Because in a lot of what TMZ says is that they broke that story after they did the teases that this is what, you know, the contestants would be drinking because, you know, TMZ digs and digs and digs.
Oh, of course.
And so, of course, after TMZ put that out there, that's when the NBC execs, because NBC is owned by Comcast, pulled mm-hmm. the episode. And they haven't been able to get a interview with any of them. Which makes me think, I don't know how much information they were really given.
Right.
And I think that sometimes that's how things get through. Granted, that's the fault of themselves for not getting all the details or demanding to know what everything's about.
Well, I mean, especially on a show with the past, with a track record like it already has.
Yeah.
As far as pushing the envelopes on what you can show on, you know,
well, you know,
primetime television.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if,
not even cable.
Yeah, but I see. I just wonder if they didn't want the controversy.
It's very possible.
Because, I mean,
I guarantee you next week's episode is going to be the most viewed episode they've had in years.
Yeah. So a lot of it could be that, you know.
Right. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
It is crazy.
But I believe that is the news.
Long pause, because there's no sound effects there.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Very welcome. So I believe you have a quiz for us this week.
I did. I went to the Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
And, you know, because they have a Starbucks in there. And then...
I wonder why you went to Barnes & Noble.
I wonder. That woman made me a delicious white chocolate raspberry latte. I asked her to add raspberry syrup, and she said, I can do that. And she spelled my name correctly.
Yes.
Yes. So I found this book called Who Are You? The Big Book of Personality Tests. So if you'd like to take this quiz.
I am intrigued.
That is the book. So, well, through all these quizzes, we learn about ourselves.
Okay.
And so the one I picked, because some of them, they're not going to be fun on this show, so we'll just, you know, ignore those. But this one is, how time conscious are you?
Oh, Lord.
I'm interested to know this about you, Lucas.
Okay, so are we both going to be taking this, or is it just me?
Yeah,
or?
We both are.
So okay, so I should write down my answers?
No, I'm going to write down your answer.
I got you.
So that I can score it.
Okay.
I will read the question.
Okay.
And then give you A, B, or C, and you tell me if it's A, B, or C. So I'll write that down, and then I'll score it and tell you where you are. And then I'll finish it up with the explanation. Because that's the nice thing about this book is at the end it gives you the explanation of how, why, who, and where, that kind of stuff.
Very nice.
Okay. All right.
As I pour myself another glass of wine.
I know, I heard that in the background. Well, this is what it says at the beginning of this test. It says, in Western society, we value promptness and are very focused on time. Those people who handle time efficiency tend to be in great demand and are generally successful in life. What pace do you set for yourself? The following quiz, similar to those used in this Stanford University Time Perspective Inventory, should help to gauge your sense of time urgency. Wow. All right. Are you ready, Lucas? Dun, dun, dun.
I'm ready.
All right. Question one. It bothers me when I am late for an appointment. A, rarely or very little. B, sometimes or moderately. Or C, often or very much.
So it's only A, B, C this time?
Yeah, they're all, it's actually,
oh, okay.
The answers to all of them are A, B, C, and they're all A is rarely or very little, B is sometimes or moderately, and C is often or very much.
Often, actually.
Really?
Yes. It bugs me to be late for a meeting.
Okay. Two. I am disoriented when I forget to wear my watch. A, rarely or very little. B, sometimes or moderately. Or B, sometimes, yeah. And C, often or very much.
A. Just for the simple fact that before Christmas, I hadn't worn a watch since, like, middle school.
Well, I'm B.
Okay.
I was C on the last one. It is hard for me to let time go by and do absolutely nothing. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
A. And you?
B.
Okay.
It irritates me to be kept waiting. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
I wonder what your
answer. What do you think I'm going to say?
I think it's a stone cold C for you.
It is.
Pretty much A for me.
Mm-hmm.
As we all learned from the Astronomical Pancakes incident.
Yeah. We did, very much so. 5, it is upsetting for me to put off finishing a task. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
I'm going to have to say B, because it actually, for me, it just matters what the task is. Some tasks, it doesn't matter. I could leave it and not come back for months, but some of them, I'd like to get back on it and finish it.
I'm the same.
Okay.
Okay. 6, I make list of things to do. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
A. I
think it may surprise you, I am A as well.
Wow.
I am not a list person. Alright, 7. I am on time for appointments and meet deadlines and obligations that involve others. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
C.
Me too. 8. I enjoy doing many things within a short period of time. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
B.
You're B.
Yeah.
I'm C, clearly.
Yeah.
Women like to multitask.
This is true.
Anyway, 9. When I have a few hours on my hands, I think of how to best use the time. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
Oh, that's a weird question. When I have time, I like to spend time thinking about how I can fill my time. A.
Well, I'm B.
Okay.
10. If I expect a long wait, I bring work or something to read. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
A.
I'm C. If I know about it, I always bring something to do.
I mean, that's smart. I'm just not smart. I just, for some reason, I'd be just happy staring at a wall. I know I've got to do something, and it may take a little while for them to get to me, or whatever the situation is, but I'll just sit there and live in my head for a while.
Very nice. 11. I like to allocate blocks of time to specific projects. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
A.
C.
Let me guess, you're B.
I'm C.
Oh, okay.
I like to give a lot of things specific blocks of times to do them.
Ah.
12. I carry a pad on which to jot down to-do list. A, rarely. B, sometimes. C, often.
B.
Okay. I'm A.
Okay.
All right, you have to fill the time while I score them.
So everybody that is out there, I hope if you weren't playing it then, I hope you're going back and hitting rewind and playing it yourself. Figure out what your time issues are. Me, as you could tell, I'm not really in any kind of set schedule other than wake up, go to work, at which point I am in kind of set schedules, then come home, and then all of that just doesn't matter other than Mondays when I get on here at 8, record, and everything else is free-flowing until it's time to sleep. But I'm sure you'll learn more more about that as we go on. I was going to talk about this after we get this done, but I figure I'll give her a little bit more time and just tell you about I've already explained to you how she had got me into coffee. Well, not even coffee. More of the not chocolate sundae, but chocolate milkshake of the coffee world, which is the mocha frappuccino. She's now gotten me into wine. Not any wine. Just one certain kind of wine. White Merlot.
You're welcome.
Very good. You have not tried it. You must. I'm currently on a little kick of just trying all kinds of different vineyards. Currently, my rankings are Sutter Home, number 1, Gallo Family, number 2, Behringer, number 3. And I would say, I would take some white Merlot over a beer any day at this point.
Wow.
Granted, it still wouldn't, you know, if I'm just trying to get drunk, I'll still grab some hard liquor, but that's just me.
Well, you still haven't tried New Kent yet, which
I've still got a lot of different brands, and I've got all kinds of time, especially since you like my white Merlot also. So
yes, but hands down, I will take New Kent white Merlot over any wine in the world. If you can get your hands on it, try it. It's delicious.
Yes. If you turn a beer guy into a semi-wine guy, that's at least saying something.
That's because I'm a genius.
Indeed you are.
And I'm done.
Excellent.
Clearly, by joining the conversation, I am back. Okay. You scored a whopping 19.
Watch out.
I scored an impressive 28.
Oh.
That's right. All right. So, if you scored between 12 to 19 points, which, by the way, if you're taking this quiz and you're at home, if for every response you give A, that's 1 point. For every response you give B, that's 2 points. And every response you give C, that's 3 points.
Very nice. Okay.
So you scored between 12 and 19 points. That's the first one. So you are time carefree. You don't pay enough attention to the limits that time imposes on your life. You probably frustrate others by your lax attitude and low sense of time urgency. Strive to make and keep deadlines for completing tasks. That's what it says.
That's messed up.
Your lack that sometimes.
Most, except for the try to set deadlines. When I need to set deadlines, I can. But obviously my answers have not filled that prophecy.
That's right. Okay, and I'm the next bracket. I scored between a 20 and a 29. You have a sensible attitude about time and a realistic sense of urgency about getting things done when you should. That's all mine says.
Oh, that, I don't know. Kind of a letdown.
Well, there's a third answer, which if anybody scores between 30 and 36,
right,
which neither one of us did. It says, you are on your way to becoming a compulsive clock watcher. Train yourself to put things into perspective and tackle important tasks first. Relax and get used to feeling comfortable with the idea that some things can be put off until tomorrow without dire consequences. But don't get as drastic as Lucas Payne.
This is true.
This is what it should
say. Apparently.
Apparently.
But are you surprised at where I stand?
No, I'm surprised at where I stand. I'm surprised I'm not almost on the verge of becoming a compulsive clock watcher.
Or aren't you like two away?
Yes.
Do you have 26 or 28?
I had a 28.
Yeah, so you're only two away from being there.
Well, you're only one away from being where I'm at.
And that's surprising. Yes. But that is just one of the many quizzes you will enjoy. Naturally Dead Run Podcast. Many more to come in the future. And as of last week, you got a little glimpse into the wonderful world of Mad Libs.
Yes.
And now, we want to include you on that. Chanel, would you like to tell them about your fantastic new game idea?
So this is what we're going to do. Every time we choose to do a Mad Lib on the episode, before we do that Mad Lib, what we're going to do is tell you how many of everything we need, like the nouns, the adverbs, the adjectives, the verbs, all of that good stuff that we need for that right. one story we're going to do. So that way you can email them into us, you can post them on the Naturally Dead Wrong Facebook, you can tweet them to us, however you want to get them to us, that's great. And Lucas or I will compile a master list of all of those for that particular Mad Lib, and when we play the game, we can only choose from that list.
Yes.
So, with that being said, I have figured out everything we need for episode 4's Mad Libs.
And would you happen to know, does your Mad Lib book have names of these Mad Libs?
They do, but I think we should keep the name a secret so we'll get funnier Mad Libs.
Okay.
I wrote That's down cool. the name so I can refer back to that one to do it, but gotcha. I thought that if we can't, because like, we knew what ours was the last time, what the title was.
This is true.
So I feel like if people don't know and we just go through the list and we choose what we need out of this list and when we put it in, I feel like the story will be funnier.
That is perfectly fine with me.
Okay. So this is what we need. So send us in list. We need 9 nouns.
That is person, place, or things. We need 9 of them.
Yeah. We need 1 adverb.
That is something that tells how something is done.
So, like, slyly.
Yes.
Yes.
Slyly.
Usually ending in L-Y. We yep. need 2 verbs ending in I-N-G.
An action word, like, of course.
Vomiting.
Yes.
And Very then, nice. Yes. And then we need 2 adjectives. Like,
which, adjective. Of course, describes something or somebody. Like lumpy.
Or bumpy.
That's true.
So that's all we need for next week's Mad Lib. Please play with us.
And I think that will actually turn out very well.
I think so, too. It'll be fun. And if you want to be on the show, you want to be guests on the show, we'd love for that yeah. to happen as well.
Indeed. We, as some of you may or may not know, we do record on Skype. And I know at least one of our listeners has joined me on Skype before. So if any of y'all would like to join us for an episode or two or just for a little segment, just let us know by, you know, giving us an email at naturallydeadwrongpodcast@yahoo.com. You're welcome. And hitting us up on Twitter. NDW Podcast.
You're welcome.
Or, of course, finding us out on Facebook.
We're going to be dragging be my brother.
Naturally-Dead-Wrong.
Yep. We'll be dragging Add my us. Brother into this as well, so.
Very nice. That's right. That's one segment that we never talked about on the show. About how we would like him to give us the, oh, what was it? Self-defense move of the day.
I don't really know how much Chase is into self-defense as he is just into, you know, like, fighting.
Or fighting tip of the day.
Do that, too.
It's either or. It's how you use it.
My brother does MMA and UFC fighting
yeah.
sort of style. I'm sure he'll correct me on that because I'm probably wildly wrong, but I know he knows jiu-jitsu and other forms of fighting.
And while he is younger, he is the reason I will not do anything to make him upset.
Yes, because...
Well, of course, you upset, which in turn would anger him.
He could... No, I, he
which
can
in turn
that,
would
yeah.
be my ass on a stick mm-hmm. being handed to me. Not good.
Pretty
Not good at all.
Because, yeah, you might be able to kick his ass at a video game, but I don't
yes.
think so in real life. No.
No.
No, I have faith in you, but no.
No. No, no, no. I don't even have that much faith in myself.
Hell, I won't even fight him. And I know he won't hurt me.
Oh, but another thing we'd like. Now, all of you out there on Facebook, I'm sure you are tired of getting all these damn requests from people. Join me on Farmville. Be my neighbor. Milk a goat with me. No. We don't want that.
No.
We want you to be our neighbor on Zombie Farm.
Yes.
Much better.
You'll love Zombie Farm. You actually get to invade places and eat brains. It's great.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very addictive.
It is. It is.
You'll find yourself waking up, and the first thing you do, like somebody I know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Grabbing your iPod or iPad or going to your computer, making sure you harvest all of your shit so you can get your coins, so you can buy more zombies.
Or really cool things to make your farm pretty.
This is true.
Plus, you get the experience points. I mean, people, you just need to play this so you know what we're talking about. And if you already play it and you're already addicted, even better.
Yes. You must let us know so we can be your neighbor.
Yes. So, I mean, you can always email us. Like, we've given you all that stuff numerous times in this show. Or tweet us or let us know your name and we can find you or you can find us. Because Lucas and I both play separately because we don't share games.
No.
No.
We're not good sharers.
No, we're not good sharers at all.
We share time, but not things.
No.
And even when we share time, she's always staring at her watch. I don't know what's going on.
No, I'm not compulsive yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Give you time.
And if I am staring at my watch, I'm making sure I don't have things to harvest.
This is true. But, I mean, it's a little short show today. Well, kind of. But that's pretty much it for this week. And, as you've noticed on these past couple of episodes, I try to leave you all with a song every single week. You may have heard this gentleman out of, I believe, North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the Carolinas, singing to his church.
Oh, God, you're playing that guy? I think
that's right.
You told me that, but I didn't click because you used this guy's name.
Yes, Mr. James Canop.
Yes, but then if you listen to it, because I know you're about to give him a big warning or whatever. But if they listen to it, they have to. Are you doing the one where he talks about how he's beat Brian Freeman?
Yep.
Then they need to
about
look
what?
Where he's beat Brian Freeman in some contest.
Yes, 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 yes.
Then they need to YouTube Brian Freeman and actually get a real perspective of what the song should sound like.
And what he's trying to do.
Yes, because, I mean, Brian Freeman's not my cup of tea, but you can tell that he can at least sing.
Kind of, yeah.
Well.
And.
Yeah.
Well, both of them have quite possibly the most annoying voices I've ever heard in my entire life.
But one is way better than the other.
This is true, but
do they need to YouTube the guy you're about to play the song for because it is fucking hysterical?
Yes.
I love the fact that he almost... Oh, they just... You know what? I'm not going to give any... I don't want to spoil it.
It's okay.
I don't want to spoil it.
So for any of you who don't want to be annoyed... Or have a song stuck in your head for well over a week like I have.
Don't turn us off. Listen.
Just turn it down a little bit.
No.
So it doesn't blow your eardrums out. Luckily, I'm deaf, so I don't have that issue.
Oh, I had to turn it up just so I could understand the words coming out of his mouth. But, you know, you have to listen to this song. I don't even care that it gets stuck in your head. Please listen to this song.
It is great.
I beg you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week. I'm Lucas.
I'm Chanel.
I'm Chanel.
Bye-bye.
This is James Canop.
Enjoy.
Looking for a city.
Well, this next and final song is going to be one that has made me pretty famous over the last few years. It has took me a lot of places I didn't think I would be at. But it was the first time on stage, New Year's Eve 2002, with one of the best quartets out there today, Brian Free and Assurance. And I was privileged to be able to sing this one with Brian Free. And... I don't know if I beat him that night or not, but ever since then, we've had competitions. I've wore him out. not to make me look good or anything, but that's what happened. But this is one that also my friends at my hometown church, Gospel Light Baptist Church in Salisbury, North Carolina, has really made their top choice. So therefore, we're going to finish off with this one. It's called Looking for a City. I didn't know you was going to start out with it. Looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die. Where the saints and millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, our Holy Spirit. City where we'll never die, where the saints and millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, our Holy Spirit, our homes renew. Looking for a city. Savior and our loved ones too. Come, our Holy Spirit, hold our hearts renew. Looking for a city where we'll never die, where the saints and millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior. Come, our Holy Spirit, hold our homes renewed. Oh, a city where we'll never die, where the saints and millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Saints and millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, that's all I'm doing. So see ya. Are our homes real?